I don't want anything that glows when I sweat.
Well, that's what's going to happen. It is a moisture sensitive, not only pulls up the flaps open, so these little like gills, that also, and flap is not a good way. If they want to sell this thing, they need to take words like flap
and microbial. And who wants to stand next to somebody when this all is happening?
Exactly.
When your suit starts activating itself with its live, with its live cultures.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmari, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Hey You Know It.
Welcome.
Yes, today we have a special guest. We have Cindy. Cindy from Arts of Brazil. Welcome.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Oh, good. We're so glad to have you.
And also, Cindy does listen to the podcast as well, so she's also a fan. Not only is she the executive director of Arts of Brazil, also a hikey fan.
Yeah.
And I love drinking boxed wine while listening to your podcast.
We did not ask her to say that.
That just came out.
Yeah. Unsolicited.
Oh, we love our boxed wine, too. Too bad we don't have any right now.
I know. I wish
we
had some today. We should have brought
them. Yeah.
I saw some mini cartons. I was like, that just looks dangerous.
Yeah.
And now it's in the can, so.
In the can?
In the can?
You can get wine in the can now.
What? When did this happen? It's called Chug-a-Lug?
No.
That's our wine. That's the hikey wine in the can. It's called Chug-a-Lug. Right.
Well, we knew about the wine with in the plastic cups with the peel-back lid.
The Copa, yeah.
But you're telling us that there is wine in a can.
There is wine in a can.
How was it?
Fresh?
It was like wine in a can.
It's what it sounds like.
I was at the airport, so, you know.
It was at the airport?
Yeah.
So classy.
Exactly.
Did you get it on the plane?
Probably not.
For me, it doesn't last more than 5 minutes.
So. Okay. You chug it as you're checking in. Like, I like that. Wine at the airport.
Yeah.
That's something else. Okay. All right.
Wine in a can at the
airport. Wine in a can at the airport.
Like, I remember when they started with Guinness in the can.
Yes.
That was a big deal.
It was a big deal.
I worked in a pub.
The Irish were upset.
Because, you know, when you pour a Guinness, you have to fix the tap to have a very a thin stream coming out.
Yeah, and then you have to let it sit after half a pour.
Oh, Jesus.
And then come back to it.
And then didn't they modify the can or put something inside?
Yes, a widget.
Yeah, after that.
Yes.
But they modified. But I still say no
to
the Guinness in a can. Wine in a can, wine in my hand. Don't care. Like wine from a sponge that I squeeze in my mouth. It doesn't matter. Anyway.
So, well, you're here and you are a drummer. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what it is that you're doing.
Okay, so I am a fledgling percussionist and I have been drumming Bahian style Samba Reggae drumming for over 2 years now. I started out with an organization called Batala. It's a global arts project with over 35 bands across the world. So the cool thing about a Batala, it's open to anybody. Anyone can join.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I get so big.
It's true. And in New York, though, in Washington, D.C., it's only women. So sorry, fellows. Not for you.
Outside of the New York and the Sarah Shore.
No, you're saying anyone. Now, it's my dream to drum, but I know that I should not. Because you ever see like a baby in a high chair getting excited about something and waves their arms?
Is that how you drum?
That's how I drum,
basically.
Actually, that's how it feels in the beginning, too. You get all super excited and you're trying, but yeah. It works out.
Are people giving you side eye? Like, what's she drumming?
The divas give you side eye.
Okay.
Yeah, that's their job, so.
I watched some of the videos and, listening to the music, and it's fantastic, but there's a lot of flair going on with the drum, striking the drum.
Yeah, it is.
And there's certain moves, and you wave your arm away, and you bring it back.
I would say the drum, just for those of you who've never seen before, it's huge. You're wearing it, right, basically.
Correct. Yeah, they're 24 inches. The biggest one is 24 inches in diameter. And unlike a marching band bass drum where it's kind of vertically positioned, this one's flat like a pancake and you strap it around your waist. And so think about marching a parade for 3 miles, 5 miles, whatever. you've got this giant barrel strapped to your waist, and
oh my god,
you have to waddle like a duck down the streets of New York City.
I have the image I saw that they had stopped because it was at the Women's March. The Batala was there, so they had like a little area, and they were doing it. I didn't see them waddling, but I'll have to watch some videos of that, because that 100 women waddling with drums sounds pretty badass.
It was fun, and we actually got to lead the Women's March this year. So,
oh, I didn't know that. That's yeah. awesome.
You led it.
We led the Women's March
in DC.
No, the one here in New York City.
No, kidding. That's
awesome. Yeah.
So that was like the pinnacle for me for the New York experience. So
that I was there in New York too. So we were actually marching.
Did you
in
the
Women's
drumming?
March?
Or were you far
I
back?
I was so far okay. back.
There were so many people.
It was amazing.
Yeah. I love that it was led by a women's drumming like group though. That's pretty cool.
Well, thank you for leading the way because that was a phenomenal
letting
march.
Up, like, many yeah. people know that would, women yeah. are coming.
That was amazing. Yes.
Did you make it all the way up to the tower and everything?
Yeah, we did. Oh, they cut it because after the Women's March got started.
The man.
Yeah, the man. Totally.
The man.
A lot more people jumped in. And so there was a point where we were stalled for about an hour because people just kept coming in and coming
yeah,
in.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. the little... Yeah,
they weren't ready?
No, well, you were supposed to go to a certain point and line up for the march, but everybody just came in through side streets.
That's
everybody
right, because this is New York. You're not going to tell New Yorkers where to come in at a march.
But it was supposed to be... What was it? I think there were five times as many people. So they wanted. Yeah. They thought 200,000 were going to show. And they got something,
whatever
it was, was more than a million or some kind of number in that
I
respect.
Feel like I love the idea that I unfortunately was not here for that march, but I like the idea that there might have been some women somewhere who were just like, what's going on? You gonna drum in?
Yes.
Like just drawn towards it and like, well, let's just join.
Yeah.
Let's just go.
So imagine putting on the skinny jeans.
Oh, God.
And thinking everything's going to be fine when you stand and then you sit. And the rolls come over. That's what it was like.
That's what it was like. It just bulged out all over the place.
Yeah.
The best thing were the signs everywhere at the Women's March. Like,
oh, yeah, the
blink
signs
Melania.
If you need help, blink.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there was so much laughter going on with the signs. They were so creative and funny.
I haven't been to a Women's March since there was a NARAL march, like, back in the 90s. But it was so fun.
Yeah.
Like, the atmosphere was just, and I was like, I wish we could have things like this all the time, not just for protests, but just like, you know, a million women get together and just take the streets.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. But it was peaceful. Nobody had any problems with each other. Everybody was for whatever it was. It was all about freedom and liberty to be and do whatever you
who's against
want.
That? The man. In any case, so you were with Batala.
So you know all about the women.
Yeah.
Yes.
Getting together. So
women
tell
drumming.
Us about it.
Women drumming is a lot of fun, but you know, if it's a bunch of alpha women drumming, then
and that's in drums.
Yeah,
it can be difficult.
Then the drama starts to enter in. So,
yeah, that happens. Yeah.
So yeah, it's a good experience, but you know, it just depends on the coven.
So when you were with Batala, did you guys travel and work with other Batala women's groups or other Batala groups? Like internationally?
So the trips with traveling are optional.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of members go to D.C. Some of us went to San Francisco. Last year I went to Greece and Mexico and London as well to travel with the, you know, participate with the other bands. Mm-hmm. So that's the beauty of Batala. You can go to any Batala in the world and start
and
drumming.
Join in.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So the beats are similar. The equipment is similar. So if you've done Batala in D.C., you could definitely go do Batala in Greece and feel like, you know, not miss a beat.
Exactly. Or you could start your own Batala as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Just like rogue Batala.
Yep. So.
But it's still the same kind of thing to expect, like Zumba.
Yes. Yeah. It's the same everywhere.
Like Zumba.
Like Zumba. I'm trying to
make it current. So after you left Batala, you're working with Arts of Brazil. So what is that?
So I chose to leave Batala because I know amazingly talented dancer, musician, capoeirista from Bahia. His name is Gustavo Caldas, and he wanted to start a samba reggae band of his own. So I felt like that was a good opportunity to, you know, go to the source and be more authentic with my pursuit in learning this music. So
tell us a little bit about the music that Arts of Brazil is doing. So it's the Axé, is that correct?
Yeah, Axé music. It includes samba reggae music, which is this type of drumming that we're talking about. It's out of Bahia, Brazil. And every year for Carnival, you know, the whole city of Salvador celebrates Carnival. And there's tons and tons of drumming groups that I can't describe the mayhem, but you know that the Carnival in Salvador is the biggest one in the world.
Really?
Yeah.
So Carnival in Salvador.
I thought
Carnival was like the Brazil.
Yeah, like Rio.
Rio.
That's what I mean, because this is...
Yeah, so in Rio, you know, the traditional samba schools, they do... It's the similar thing, but the thing with Bahia in particular is that there's deep African connections in Bahia, because that was the city where slaves were brought to.
Mm-hmm. Hence the flavor of the music.
Yes.
Influenced by that. And the drums. Because, you know, we love a drum.
Right. Right. So, yeah, the two differ. Samba from Rio and Samba Reggae from Bahia are different. And Samba Reggae started as a form of political expression.
So is it linked to capoeira? Which was also
capoeira was the
dance, but fighting.
It was a secret capoeira.
Yeah,
the secret dance of fighting.
Yes, the secret dance of fighting.
Slaves
were not allowed to
fight
train
or practice, so they made it look like a dance.
It looked like a dance. I also found an interesting thing. Speaking of, like, you know, enslaved people's heritage, I didn't know that we used to use cornrows to mark the trail of the Underground Railroad.
What?
And this is the genesis of why they want to always stop us from doing our hair a certain kind of way. Because the hair we were using... Can you imagine that? So you would cornrow someone's hair, and then another slave would see and be like, okay, that's the path that we have to take in order to get from where we are now to freedom. Amazing.
Yeah.
Right? I had no idea.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So capoeira kind of falls under this thing, too. It's a resistance art form.
Yes.
And then it's the drumming, too. We were not allowed to use drums here because they were like, they're signaling to their people. And we're like, no, we're just drumming. We're signaling to our people.
Right.
Like that kind of thing. So tell us about Ashe.
And so Ashe just is like it's a greeting. We all use it to, like, wish each other, like, love and light and energy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why Ashe music is this, it's like the same thing. We're using this music to uplift ourselves and everybody else. So, and yes, capoeiristas use Ashe when they, you know, it's basically you'll finish saying something and you're saying goodbye to somebody and you say Ashe, or if you see someone, Ashe.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty much it.
That's cool.
That's
I like
pretty.
That. Yeah. Then I'll say Ashe.
Yeah, Ashe.
Wow.
So
what is your plan? So I know that Arts of Brazil is new. So what is the plan? Where is it so far? What are you guys going to do?
The plan for now is to open up the band, which it is just open, and find, you know, new members, people who want to learn how to drum. You don't have to be a professional drummer or semi-professional drummer. You can be brand new without any experience.
Oh,
do you need a drum?
That's dangerous.
Katie hears the call of the drums.
Yeah.
The cool thing is we sent Gustavo to Bahia in April, and he picked up 30 drums and brought them back.
How? How do you bring, like, and imagine at customs. Yeah. What, do you have nothing?
It was crazy.
30 drums.
They nest into each other, so there were 6 huge drum bags.
Wow.
With 5 drums in each bag.
Wait, so they're different sizes?
Yeah.
The largest one was 24 inches
in
diameter, and it goes down to...
Yeah, it goes 22 inches, 18 inches, 13 inch for the snare, and then 12 inch for another type of drum.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you find any of those appeal to you? Are you thinking about anything
particular? I saw the 5 different drums on the website.
You wanted
them
each,
all. I wanted them all.
You just strap them around yourself like a tutu.
Yeah, yeah.
They just work.
And the purposes of each drum has a... You know,
there's significance for the size of each drum?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay. Break it down.
So, like, the fundus, or they're called the serdus, it's the same thing. They're the bass. So you have serdu 1 and serdu 2, and serdu 1 goes boom, serdu 2 goes bing. So that's the heartbeat for the whole thing. So there's boom, bing, boom, bing, boom, bing.
You could do this?
I guess.
And yeah. So that's, if you're serdu 1, you're just hitting on the 1. So you're like boom, and you wait for the bing, and then boom, 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 you know. Or if you're 32, you're like, bing, bing, bing. But it's a lot of fun because the drums are huge. They're heavy. They vibrate like hell. So when you're playing the serdus, you're vibrating yourself because of the drum. And then everybody else is making you vibrate. So you are in this big pool of energy when you're drumming.
That sounds also, like fun. I would laugh. I'd be like, oh, this is, everything's
and then everyone would start laughing and vibrating.
It generally happens. It's a lot of fun. And then the Sirdi players, if you watch Olo Doom or any of the other famous Samba Hege bands, they have to do tricks with the drums. So you got your big ass drum, and you're lifting it over your head. You're striking it over your head. Some throw them in the air, catch it, strike it.
Are you serious?
Swing them around.
Have you done this?
I do lifting.
I gotta say this.
It's like, that's where you stop. That's where I'm like, look, I'm not throwing yet, because you could go up in the air.
So are you lifting it like in a bunch of you guys lifting at the same time?
Yes.
It's choreographed and everything?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, or like if you're just feeling it, you could just lift.
You just start it off.
Start lifting. But there's a lot of choreographed movement. Also with the rest of the band, there's a lot of choreography and choreographed movement. So.
Okay. So what about the people with the tiny ones, the little drums?
They're the...
They bring out the rear.
They're the lucky ones. The snares kind of hold the heartbeat down. So mm-hmm. you've got the snares heart beating, and then you've got the snares constantly shaking in the background. So it provides a nice way to have a steady beat going. And then you've got the front line, which are the dobras. Those are also Sirdis, but they're the smaller ones. They play all the offbeats, and that's where the reggae...
That'd be me.
Yes.
The offbeat.
That's where the reggae part for Samba Hege comes in. In Brazil, the R's are H's, so yeah, Samba Hege.
And, yeah, I was going to ask about that.
Yeah.
Was I saying it wrong?
No, yeah, okay. That's fine. And but that's where the majority of the choreos with those, the front line, the dobras. And so those are where all the divas are at. So,
of course.
Showboating.
Yeah, they do the most dancing, and they think the whole rest of the band exists behind them just so they can play.
Oh, that's totally going to be me.
Okay.
I need to be in the front, showboating, running a kick line.
Yeah.
It's like, all of you are here. That's good.
Yeah, that's great.
But it's about me.
It's really about us.
100%, you hit the nail on the head. Okay. That's exactly how that is. So
who does the choreography for this? Is this something that you and the other founders are going to be doing, or?
Well, yeah, I mean, we're doing this as a team, Gustavo and I, mm-hmm. but, and I feel fortunate because he used to be a dancer with Ballet de Folklore de Bahia.
Wow, okay.
Which is a long thing to say, and I can't say it, but yeah, so choreography is never that much of an issue. It's like stick tricks and tossing your sticks in the air, doing arm things, maybe.
I'm sorry, but the idea of throwing a drum in the air and then strike, like while everything else is going, you still get to hit your beats.
Yeah.
Like you can't just be flinging it all over the place.
Right.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Some people try to do headstands on their drums.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
That is-
How? So put it down kind of like a yoga thing.
You
put it down into a handstand.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. And then hit the beats.
Yeah, well, for that, they stop for a second and then come back.
Wow.
That's amazing.
But it's a lot of fun. And it's picking up popularity, so we'll see how much, more popular it gets here in the United States.
I think people are looking for a way to have fun and be with other people that doesn't involve sitting in a darkened room or getting loaded. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So this is something that is lacking in our culture. Like, I feel like American culture is very much about sitting around and watching something or just having conversation with each other. And this is like another way to be together with people.
Yeah, I'm calling it an activity, but it's like, it's something a little more artistic than you're saying that anybody can come in and do it.
Right.
And it's fun.
It's a lot of fun.
The idea of hitting a drum and my whole body like vibrating.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a lot of fun. And it's, you know how drumming is really good for you. There's a lot of health benefits to drumming.
Is there?
Yeah, with your, it increases your intelligence. It teaches your brain how to make new connections, which is hard after you reach a certain age.
Okay.
How do you mean?
You're trying to say.
Yeah. It keeps you active.
Yeah, and it keeps you active. But Batala, my former band, has sort of a cult status. So if you've ever wanted to join a cult and see what that's like,
you can also get in
on that one if you want.
And what is there a big association with like spirituality with the drums, or is it just like this is the way we know the truth?
The spirituality aspect.
One of us.
That's huge in Salvador Bahia. They are big practicers of Candomblé, which is a Yoruba type religion.
What is that? I don't know what it is.
So you're talking about Orishas and that kind of
Orishas,
stuff.
Orishas,
so Yoruba is like it's a big African, it's like a group of African religions. I think within it there are a lot of kind of denominations that maybe either cultural or linguistic.
Okay.
But it's like a belief in, it's animistic, I think, like a belief in spirits in the water, spirits in the trees.
Spirits in the glass.
Spirits in the glass, yeah. Okay. Our ancestors, you know, like that kind of thing, kind of like a naturalistic. Old religion.
Very old. So before we do a parade, usually the leader will smoke a cigar made out of like cinnamon and some other things, and that's for Ogun, I think. I might be getting my Orishas wrong.
Probably, that's the big one, is Ogun.
He's the, and
he's also, like a Zeus type situation, okay. I think.
Yeah. So you'll see the cigar being smoked, and then there's this drink that we all pass out before the parade called Carpeta, and that's...
Sounds like communion.
Yeah.
You pass it around, right. Yeah.
Except that it's loaded with alcohol.
Nice.
Okay.
Guarana powder.
Wow.
Oh.
Well, you got a drum.
Yeah, so you know, need
you gotta
that.
Be up.
But then there's...
That stuff makes me, like, blows
my
mind.
Yeah, I could run a marathon.
Yeah.
But then there's,
like 5 minutes.
Like heavy cream or whatever. So
what is heavy cream? Why do people... We recorded an episode not too long ago. They're talking about different drinks.
Colonial drinks.
Okay. And they put cream in the
So it was
wine.
Like hard liquor, yeah. You know, heavy beer. And then somebody's like, let's throw some egg in there, a little bit of cream. Why not?
Right.
I'll tell you why not. Because it's weird.
Okay. You're going to be drumming and farting at the same time.
Well, that's another kind of percussion. Right. You guys are going to work that in. So how did you get involved in Batala in the first place? I met Cindy, I never heard of it.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
Me too.
It's definitely a cult. So.
Okay.
But I used to practice capoeira for about 7 years. And mm-hmm.
Oh, no kidding.
Through doing capoeira, I started learning a little more about the culture. And then that's where I found out about samba reggae drumming. And so, I mean, that was like a natural progression.
Nice. I see.
I have yet to try capoeira. It looks really difficult.
You know what? It is difficult.
And humbling.
Yes. I think different gyms that specialize in these novelty classes will go ahead and they'll teach different things. They've done, you know, belly dancing, and they my gym had classes in this, and I walked in and this guy's flipping around, and I'm like,
yep.
You know what? I can't.
Yep.
I can't flip around.
That's what happened to me. I walked in there. I was like, he started to break dance, but then it looked a little bit like judo. I was like, I'm out.
And
yeah, I cannot do this.
You need a lot of room around you to keep, like,
I feel like I need more strength and a little more confidence.
Yeah.
To get in.
So how about you? How do you like it?
Those help. I actually really love it. The funny thing I notice now about samba, like from Rio, samba reggae, capoeira, it's actually a super open model of participation. So you can do it at any skill level.
Like yoga. You can come in, and if all you can do in yoga is lay down and do chorus pose, that's your yoga.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So it is intimidating when you walk in and you see these dudes flipping around.
Yeah.
And,
they usually have no shirt.
Yeah.
And loose pants with a drawstring.
Yeah. And I'm like, I should just watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
no
shoes. To embarrass myself.
Yeah,
yeah, no shoes.
Yeah. But yeah, I never expected to become flipping around at any point, and I still probably will not.
Yeah.
But I'll still keep doing capoeira.
Yeah.
So. So if people want to get involved with Arts of Brazil, how can they get started?
The best thing to do is just go on Facebook and look up Arts of Brazil, and then that way you can send a message and someone will get back to you quickly.
Okay.
So
you guys are still in the formation. So if you want to get on something that's fresh and that's starting, get it on the ground floor.
Right.
You can be in the front with the tiny drums.
Right.
Dancing around instead of in the back with us.
Or you can actually choose whatever drum you want. So
we have
30 drums right now sitting in storage.
30 lucky people.
Yeah.
So you walk by the drums and kind of like the sorting hat in Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Kind of like the drum picks you. Right.
That is very true. Yes.
Okay.
The drum will call to you and you'll know like, okay, I want to try this.
So. All right, cool.
Oh, all
right, so let's get into some segments.
All
that
right.
was fascinating. Thank you. Okay. I want to kick off with a little penis news. This is my favorite segment. This is a dick update, scrotum
story. This is Jaquetta's favorite segment.
The member on the move.
Oh my God.
I think Cindy enjoys this segment too, so I brought this in for her.
Okay.
Yes,
it's your favorite.
It's your favorite segment. There's a lot of penis news fans out there. I don't want to, you know,
all right.
flush them out as well. So this is an item called Pre-Boost, and it says, is it over before it's begun? It is a wipe, somewhat like a hand wipe, that desensitizes a man's penis and has been found to help treat premature ejaculation.
Okay. a numbing agent.
But it's in the form of a wipe. So first of all, I'm like, do you want to, you know, wouldn't like a stiff spray be better? I feel like if you have a problem with premature ejaculation, you don't need to be wiping down your member.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, so the results of Pre-Boost were seen after the target group of men used the wipes for 2 months. Once the wipe has been applied to the penis, apparently it dries really quickly, whatever the acting agent is. It temporarily desenses the member without numbing it. So I guess you could flick it, but it still stays, you know, where it is. You can't hurt it. Professor...
You can't hurt it. It stays good.
Professor Ridwan Shabsingham.
Nice.
I know. Always the best names. Doesn't matter what culture they come from. If you work with dicks, your name is always funny to me. Professor of Clinical Urology at the Weill Cornell Medical School in New York said, premature ejaculation is the most common sexual dysfunction affecting 4 in 1 men. This is shooting your load quickly, basically.
One in four.
That was my emphasis, my own. 4 in 1 men.
Is that that's a porn
four
title.
Four in one man. Two. it says the average time, and I didn't know this. Oh, I'll ask you, how long do you think it takes a guy on average to ejaculate? On average, how long?
60 seconds.
60 seconds. Any other guesses?
61 seconds.
61. $1. 5.5 minutes. Okay. So you can get 5.5 minutes out of it before it goes. That's average. And we know what that means because we've done stats.
And we've set the clock. We've set the timer.
Oh, it's God. Regularly climaxing after minimal stimulation or shortly after sex or before a guy wants it to happen is defined as premature ejaculation. So whenever the guy's like, it's too soon. I think it should be whenever the partner says it's too soon. This was just tested on straight couples. So I'm going to say whenever the woman says it's too soon, that's too soon.
Exactly. Yeah. It's always what the woman says.
Yeah, in this situation.
Yeah.
So, they did a phase four clinical study. Now, I looked into this study. They only tried this on 26 penises.
Okay. Oh, come on. That's not a lot.
They couldn't get more guys who wanted to, like, last longer. 26 penises is all they tried this out on.
And they were like, we're good.
Yeah. So they found that with the pre-boost, it delays ejaculation 5 minutes. So it doubles the amount of time that you stay hard. The wipes, and they should start calling them wipes. They should come up with something else.
Yeah.
Wipes.
That's evocative of other.
Yeah. I feel like you might need after, you know. Wipes are available on Amazon.com. They're $30 for 10 wipes. Ooh. That's $3 a session, people, for an extra 5 minutes. I don't know.
No.
They said that all the guys taking part in the study, so they found 26 men aged 18 or older who were in heterosexual monogamous relationship, and they suffered premature ejaculation. Most of these dudes came within 2 minutes. So they really needed this. So after the study, they were able to last 7 minutes total.
All right.
So that's a big deal.
That's big.
These gentlemen were going in 2 minutes, and now they're up to seven, I think it's good. They found that gentlemen who used the wipes, on average, they were 5.5 minutes long, compared to 1.8 minutes for those who were given the placebo wipe. So just a damp cloth. With nothing on it.
A placebo wipe. Oh, that's nasty sounding. It does nothing for you, but you're going to wipe.
You got to wipe it on anyway. Two of the men suffered side effects, including a mild headache, back pain, and mild irritation on the penis itself.
Back pain?
Back pain? I'm like, were they using it correctly? Findings are going to be presented at the American Urological Association meeting in Boston. There's also another product called Fortisyn. I call it Stay Stiff. It's a spray, which I find
I call it Stay Stiff,
which is a spray that's out there that's going to be a competitor to this item that's called Pre-Boost. Pre-Boost. So that's my penis news. Gentlemen, there's help.
So got it.
There's a wipe.
Some woman is going to be like, spray a little pre-boost.
Mm-hmm. Or she's just going to, they're going to be, you know, getting romantic. He's like, shh, what happened? Nothing, don't worry about it. Like, just be women running around with spray, like, at the ready, like, shh. So that's my penis news. All right, what do you have?
I have advice on advice.
All right. So have you heard the advice on advice?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So you say what you feel.
Yeah, because you got to help with
at any
advice,
point. So. Yeah, because so we want to know what you think.
What the guest thinks.
Absolutely.
So advice on advice is a segment that we do where we find advice on the internet that stinks.
And it's unqualified.
And we try to improve upon it by giving our advice on the advice. Hence.
Advice on advice.
All right, so who do we have?
We have Prudence.
Oh.
Dear Prudence.
Dear Prudy.
I'm an 81-year-old widow with two daughters.
Okay, congrats.
Anne and B.
Huh? Are you serious?
Anne and B.
Anne and B?
B. B-E-A. Okay. Those are her daughters' names. Anne.
Like B. Arthur.
Yeah, like B. Arthur. Who are both around 60. Neither had children and neither live nearby.
Already with the complaints.
I'm considering changing my will to leave a greater share to B for two reasons.
Oh, what a B.
She's helped me considerably more than Anne since I was widowed 30 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Coming here every year to help with the house and the garden and staying with me when I recovered from surgery. Now, the second reason is because I dislike Anne's husband, Alf.
What does that have to do with leaving money? Okay, whatever. 80 years old and 60 80, years old.
81 years
81
old.
81 years old.
And her daughters are six, around 60.
They still 60. Have to deal with this old bee.
Yeah. And pays for everything because he's never held a job.
So she needs the money.
Alf talks excessively about himself and his accomplishments, which are exaggerations and untruths. He was here recently and asked many questions about my things. Furniture, painting, silver, etc.
He was casing the joint when he walked around with, like, an iPad, like, making tick marks.
Right. Yeah. Hey, You Know It is a free podcast, free of charge, FOC.
Free as a bird, free falling even. Well, it's free for listeners.
We put a lot of hard work into this.
Editing and online hosting is frankly thirsty work. It gets pretty dry in this studio. And you know we love a tasteful white wine. If you like our style, consider buying a gal a drink. We've added a PayPal donation button to heyyouknowit.com so you can show us some love with a one-time or recurring donation to cover a little something from the vine.
For $5, you'll be hooking us up with a happy hour glass of tasteful white wine, a 4-ounce pour. For a 10 spot, we can split a bottle of wine from the Bodega across the street. For $15, we can kick it with a jug, because who are we kidding? For $25, you'll be making our dreams come true with a box of tasteful white wine concealed with a Mylar skin. Box of wine.
He was casing the joint when he walked around with, like, got an iPad, like, making tick marks.
Yeah. Pictures. And took offense when I refused to give him any information. He wanted to know the provenance and value, and didn't even pretend otherwise.
All right, Miss Havisham.
He took photos of many items.
Predictive advice.
Even after I told him to stop. When I told Anne his behavior upset me, she wouldn't acknowledge how rude it was to obviously anticipate my death.
She sent him in.
Yeah.
She's like, you do it. If I go in, then the bitch hates me.
Yeah, she already hates me.
Yeah.
It's B who does everything. B is so perfect.
B.
I'm considering leaving her a cash sum that equals about 25% of my estate, with the house, its contents, and remaining assets to be. What do you think? Signed, where there's a will.
Oh, wow. What else? Like, I feel like it's a weird thing. We don't have this in my family because nobody has any money.
Yeah.
Inheritance is kind of like a joke.
Yeah.
But the idea that, you know, you would spend your last days thinking about how to screw people,
yeah,
or make a point. Why don't you just speak to B?
Yeah,
and Anne,
and say, hey, listen, you know, this is,
yeah. I mean, real Anne, like, if I were gonna get 25%, I'd be like, okay, fine.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. What do you think?
You ever see Difficult People?
No.
There's a part where she's doing a video will, and then Tina Fey just happened to be doing the video will for her, and then she's like, I've got an idea. Why don't we do this now? Instead of waiting till you die, let's give everybody everything now. Let's call them spitems. And then we can record and watch the reactions. So
that's not a bad idea. Because that's what I'm saying. This woman's not going to be around to see how Anne and B feel.
Right.
Right. So, yeah, I like this idea. Do it now. All right.
Even if she wants to be resentful, do it now so she can
see, the aftermath. That's what I'm thinking. Like, this woman is kind of a bitch. She wants to do something to, like, stick it to B, right?
No, she wants to stick it to Anne.
She wants to stick it to Anne.
Anne and her husband, Alf.
But she's not going to know if she's really stuck it to Anne and Alf.
Unless
she's around to see it. Yeah. All right, let's hear what Prudy has to say.
Okay.
Where there's a will.
So, dear Will, Prudence is not playing around.
Yes, she went right to it.
I agree that placing sticky notes with your initials on them on your elderly parents' silver and antiques is not the way to endear yourself, nor solidify your claim on the loot. In general, I'm still... Could you imagine?
People do stuff like that.
Yes, this is mine.
They really do. Like, they start going to old people's houses and, like, looking at stuff. They don't care anymore. They just don't care.
I wonder what was going on with this mother and their relationship with the daughters.
It's not like now at 80 all of a sudden she has this beef.
Now remember, okay, so she's 81 years old and the daughters are around 60.
Mm-hmm.
So she was
pretty young.
20?
Yep.
21 around that age, having mm-hmm. two young girls.
Mm-hmm. And hating on them mm-hmm. for 60 years.
And then she was widowed for 30 years ago. For 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
So at 50...
She's a widow.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Let's see.
Okay. Of course there are.
But wait. She's also rich.
Yeah.
Very, very rich. Because people in my family don't talk like this. We're going to leave you this old TV. You know?
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing to.
Furniture, painting, silver. Yeah.
We have none of that.
Yeah.
I thought we had a painting growing up, but later on I found out it was just some cardboard in a frame. You know what I mean? Yes. Like, I thought it was actual painting.
I know. We had a painting of George Washington, and I was like, there's got to be, like, another painting underneath this. You know, like, my imagination is like, I want to take a razor to the edge and then roll it down.
What was under dogs playing poker?
Of course I'm not going to do that. It was my imagination going. I'm like, it's got to be hiding the good stuff
it's
somewhere.
It's probably Kandinsky in the thing.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, right, Kandinsky.
And someone put George Washington on it.
Yeah, I was just, and I felt bad. I threw out the picture.
Aww.
I was like, I can't. It's a giant picture of George Washington.
Yeah, what the hell are you going to do with it? You should have painted
like,
it over.
He's like, nah. You know, he's got a look on his face.
Why
I don't know
you
who
have
did
that
this.
In your house? It's so weird. Okay.
Okay. Mm. Of course, there can be good reasons to leave one child more money than another. One child has a disability and needs to be provided for. Another mm-hmm. just sold an app to Facebook for $1 billion.
Yeah, you know how you do.
Yeah. There can also be circumstances for which this kind of distribution is ultimately more fair. One child made a great personal sacrifice to care for an elderly parent.
Is money the way to... pay that back. I don't know.
Another committed fraud against mom or dad.
Yeah.
But if a parent is looking at the kinds of normal sibling differences, both financial and emotional, that emerge over a lifetime, I say it's preferable to treat everyone equally.
50-50, right?
Yeah.
Because maybe this is going to cause problems. Like, she's not thinking about how Anne and B are going to feel about this after she's
mm-hmm.
gone.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to cause, like, maybe Anne and B get along? And maybe it's an understanding between them that one of them can deal with mom better mm-hmm. and the other one just better not have her life,
right.
you know, disrupted by dealing with mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Meting out punishments and rewards may seem satisfying in the estate lawyer's office, but they can have an ugly posthumous consequence.
Yeah.
A parent's parting act of favoring one child over another can do great damage to the sibling relationship, which would be an unfortunate legacy.
On the other hand, Anne might be like, shit, I'm surprised I got
25%. Yeah. Yeah. But in your case, I agree that B deserves recognition for her aid to you, and Anne and Alf deserve a slap for being avarice.
Yeah.
Having avarice. Avariciousness.
Being avaricious, however you want to say it.
Avariciousness. My suggestion is that you divide the bulk of your estate, your house, your money between your two daughters, but that all the contents of your home be left to B. And it's up to her to decide.
Be
to B? Yeah.
Okay.
All the contents.
Yeah.
Then it's up to her to decide whether to toss a painting or chair Anne and Alf's way. I agree. You know?
Yeah, I would go with the 50-50 because it's just easier that way and you don't want to create any problems.
Yeah.
And maybe you were shitty to B.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Or Anne.
Or
whoever. You know, maybe, and they have two different personalities. Maybe she's just really mean, and B is just a little bit more meek, and is just going to kind of roll over for that stuff.
I'm going to guess, too. I mean, if this woman is 80 years old, whose money was that?
Yeah.
in the first place. Mm. Did she come in with that money? Was it her husband's money and he left her set up? Like,
right.
What would he have wanted? I don't know.
And, yeah, exactly. Like, did she work super hard for that money?
I'm going to guess. Like, the way she's talking to this bitch, sounds like she's never worked a day in her life.
Yeah.
She probably didn't even polish her own silver.
I don't know. I know of a situation where there's two sisters and one did not help the their mother because she lived across the country. And the other one did help, but also got a lot of financial help along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the time, it was like, well, I gave X amount to the one daughter to help her out over the years.
Mm-hmm.
So I've tallied that. I've kept track of it.
Who does this kind of stuff?
And then the rest is going to be split, you know.
This is cultural. This is a cultural thing. This is so bizarre to me to hear anything like this. My attitude is, I always, like, in my family, we're like, spend your money down. Enjoy it.
Yeah.
Leave, you know, don't leave a bill. You don't have to leave, right. You know. You don't have to leave anything else. Like, enjoy it, you know.
Yeah, don't have to leave anything behind.
No.
But don't leave us with,
especially if you've been helping people, if you've been helping people along the way, it's like, okay, enjoy it. You know, you want to, like, blow it all, you know, by taking a cruise around the world or whatever. Like, do it. You're 80. You just sit around worrying about what you're going to do with the money.
Right.
Is there something else you want to do? Something you want to see?
And so it's really about rewards and punishments for this lady.
Yeah.
So she feels like the one daughter did not perform.
So she's trying to
the other one
out
did.
The monetary. So, but the monetary value of that is, how does she come up with 25%?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Where is the formula for that?
Yeah. Yeah, and it does do something to the kids' relationships.
Yeah. I like this husband, though, going around, like, taking pictures. Stop taking pictures. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not. I'm online.
Yeah, I don't know.
Interesting.
I don't know. Yeah, what if you just didn't have it emotionally to take care of this woman? You just couldn't do it because she was awful.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. She doesn't sound very pleasant.
No.
Oh, I like them. So I've got a thing here. I brought this in for Katie because I know that you hate humidity.
I really dislike
science news. This is a Science Daily, one of our favorite sources. Self-ventilating workout suit that keeps athletes cool and dry. Mm. Have you heard about this?
No.
So this is our team of researchers at MIT designed a breathable workout suit with ventilating flaps that open and close in response to an athlete's body heat. Now, before you get excited and think that that's cool, these things are made out of live microbial cells.
Wait a minute. Ooh. When you're putting a living being on your skin, that's like...
Live microbial cells that shrink and expand in response to changes in humidity.
Oh, and that's going to get in your pores.
The cell acts as tiny sensors. No, it doesn't. It doesn't lay against the skin directly. There's something else in between it.
Oh, sure.
I know, like, right? I'm not in a pair of underwear. You know, nothing.
Right?
Nothing crotchily. The cells act as tiny sensors and actuators, driving the flaps open when the athlete works up a sweat or when you get hot. So basically, they're moisture-sensitive cells, and they're microbial cells, and they have also put some fluorescence in them so that when you get warm or start to sweat, they light up and then they shrink so that the flaps open.
Wait a minute.
It looks like a gill suit, people.
This is not...
It's like a body. It's a one piece.
I don't want anything that glows when I sweat.
Well, that's what's going to happen. It is a moisture sensitive, not only pulls up the flaps open, so these little like gills, that also, and flap is not a good way. If they want to sell this thing, they need to take words like flap and microbial.
And who wants to stand next to somebody when this all is happening?
Exactly.
When your
so
suit
normally,
starts activating itself with its live, with its live cultures.
So it looks like it's like an amphibious, you look like an amphibious creature. Then you start to get hot and your all gills all over your body just go floop, open up. And the flaps open up.
Right, and I'm sure they off gas somehow.
That's what they flaps open up for.
No, but it's not just your heat going out. Those microbes are also living and thriving.
Yeah, they're doing something too.
Yeah, and I don't want to be next.
Decide they like your sweat? I don't know. You know?
I've already decided.
You can't get the suit off, ever.
Yeah.
It's like then what?
Yeah, it's like, no, we're here.
So it says we're using fluorescence, or they want to use fluorescence to let people know you're running in the dark. Why are you running in the dark?
It's true.
Like, really?
What happens? Yeah, if the suit now fuses to your skin.
That's what I'm saying. Like an X-Men type of situation.
Yeah.
We could find a way to make penises more erect.
Maybe. They also are thinking about ways to combine an odor release function.
Yeah, well.
Once again, we talk about offloading. Where does this odor go? You know?
Yeah.
Where does the sweat go? Like, does it get flicked onto me, who's just wearing a regular cotton?
Yeah.
Like, working out next to you?
You're not even ready for anything that's with just cotton.
Here's the best cotton.
Oh, my God. How are you going to defend yourself against this, you know, this weekend warrior next to you?
I have no idea. With his stiff dick and his offloading gas just light up in the dark flap suit. I don't know. So it's that they start off working with E. coli, non-toxic E. coli.
Okay.
And then they put the fluorescence in it so that it'll glow. And then they printed that using 3D printers, the E. coli, onto sheets of rough natural latex. So
rough.
Cindy.
Yes. Rough natural latex. That doesn't sound good.
No.
Right?
When the fabric was placed on a hot plate to dry, the cells began to shrink, causing the latex to curl up. So that's what will open the flaps. When the fabric was exposed to steam, the cells began to glow and expand.
That's disgusting.
Yeah. It says people may think heat and sweat are the same, but in fact, some areas like the lower spine produces a lot of sweat, but not a lot of heat. So it's going to, like, ventilate your body in accordance with, you know, where the heat and where the sweat is. And I'm like, well, maybe we shouldn't be wearing anything. Do you know what I mean? I feel like the skin has taken... Like, our skin kind of takes care of that for us.
Right.
And the problem is you're sweating and you're uncomfortable because you're wearing a lot of clothing.
Right.
Right?
So you're an extra layer of skin.
Yeah.
Over your skin. Made up of microbes.
Over your own skin. And then you're still going to want to put shorts on because I'll be damned if I'm going to see people running around in skin suits.
That would be.
Working out.
Yeah.
Creepy.
Mm-hmm. It's creepy. So,
well, if someone gave it to you for free, Cindy, would you wear it?
Would you put it on?
I mean, I'm always down for trying anything once, so.
One of the researchers said, it's a woman, when Wang, that's her last name, tried on the suit, she found the flaps created a welcome sensation. Lady?
A welcome sensation. I want to use that for everything.
It's a welcome sensation.
Yeah, every commercial now, I want you to say, it's a welcome sensation.
It's after pedaling hard for a few minutes, so she did it on the stationary bike.
Every product should have a welcome sensation.
She recalled, it felt like I was wearing an air conditioner on my back.
That doesn't sound good.
They're trying. They're thinking about doing it for shoes, because for some bizarre reason, with all this technology, we still have funky footwear.
Yeah.
My thing is, and Katie is a big fan of wearing the flip-flops.
I have them on today.
Exposed. Yeah. Your feet probably should be out as much. You are too, Cindy.
Yes,
you
absolutely.
You like a flip-flop?
I like to be barefoot as much as possible.
Sandals. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Try to wear sandals or whatever.
It's better. People say in New York, it's like gross, but I'm like, you know what?
It depends on where you're going, what you're doing. If the platform is high enough, I think it's fine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It depends on where you're going. There are definitely parts of the city sometimes where the flip-flop, there's glass, like there's crap around. But it depends on where you are.
Yeah.
You know? And the conclusion of this article says, going forward, the team is looking to collaborate with sportswear companies and also exploring other uses, including moisture-responsive curtains.
Moisture-responsive curtain?
Yeah.
What would be the purpose of that?
I don't know. I mean,
I think it's
great
for a hotel. Because people get down everywhere in a hotel room.
But, I mean, what, then the curtains are going to curl up and go away? Moisture.
It's a start.
Also, lampshades.
Okay.
Yeah, hotels.
And bed sheets.
Yeah, there you go.
But my question is, if the moisture is not absorbed by the bed sheet, where does it go?
Right.
Is it just laying on top? Like an oil slick? Or like what's... You know what I mean? Like what's
But then it goes into the air and dissipates and you breathe it in? Is that the thing to do?
And what...
Is that what we're in for?
What liquids are we talking about here?
Are you gonna...
I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I want them to wash those sheets and remove those sheets all the time. I don't want to be like, oh, it's no problem. We got this microbial E. coli flap.
And what about dust mites?
Do
microbes meet other microbes somehow?
And party?
Yeah. What's going to happen, right, when a dust mite meets a microbe?
Yeah. Now what?
And then this whole new species is formed.
What if they mutate?
Yeah.
This comes some kind of a dust mite microbe?
Fluorescent bed bugs.
Yes.
Yeah. Ooh. Okay.
So we're going to do a quick Tales from Der Campfire. Tales from Der Campfire is a segment where we find tales in the internet of the paranormal, fake lore, folklore, ghost stories,
ghost myth, scary stuff.
And we retell them here around the digital campfire, so please gather around.
Gather around, listeners. This is called Mom's Jewelry Box.
Uh-oh. Is this about this guy again taking pictures? Is this gold or gold-plated?
This is a story that hails from Canada.
Okay, sweet. The Great White North.
My mother died November 10th, 2005. I have always believed in ghosts.
She left me 25% of everything she had.
And B got the rest. I've never seen one, but I've had many things happen to me that would involve a ghost. After my mother died November 10th, my grandpa came over. My grandpa gave me her jewelry box, so I put it in my room. Before I went to bed, the jewelry box started playing by itself.
No.
So I got up, looked at the back, and the button or whatever it's called wasn't turning. I started to get scared since the jewelry box doesn't play without someone opening the top.
I hate those.
I know. And when the worst little, music.
A
worst
little
song.
Kid, someone gave me one when you open it. It was a little ballerina. I'm sure you guys have the same. Yeah. And I was just creeped out by it.
Yeah, because it had a weird jerky turn. Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes, like, you'd wind it up and it would go, and then nothing would happen. Then, like, an hour later, like, ding, ding, ding.
Yes.
Like, hell.
And the music was sad, and also just, like, it reeked of some kind of, I don't know, forcing you to be something that you're not.
Yeah, of loss. I didn't like, because mine was white. I'm like, get this out of here. Yeah. I was actually doing ballet. I'm like, you guys couldn't come up with something. I mean, I scrubbed the, like, I chipped off the color. So then she was just, like, translucent. I don't know. It wasn't good. It was ugly.
I thought it wouldn't happen again, but I was wrong. February 3rd is my mother's birthday. Again, that day, before going to bed, the jewelry box started playing by itself.
Why don't these people ever throw these things out?
Yeah. Same thing happened as the first time. The button wasn't turning and the top wasn't opened. That time, I was surprised because it happened two times on two special days. On Mother's Day, I was sitting in my room, and before I went to bed, it started playing again. That time, I was freaked out. It happened three times the same year on three special days. The day she died, the day of her birthday, and Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
I can't explain what happened, but I do think that it's a sign that she's watching over me.
It's not like she's coming for you. Yeah. Exactly. It's not like a good thing.
Yes. Since November 10th, 2005, every three special occasions, Mom's jewelry box plays me a melody.
Mm-mm.
That's scary. So every year on those dates,
it
starts
like
playing
that.
And they think it's a good thing.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I would say get rid of it. I don't know why they never do get rid of it. They don't do it in the movies either.
Mm. Right.
They're always like, no, Mom gave it to me. I'm like,
no, that's a haunted item.
Let me tell you something about your mom. Yeah, that's a haunted item.
And it's not good. Because it's all about her, too.
Yeah.
What a narcissistic mother.
Yeah, right.
It's about
death. On the daughter's birthday, it could play a little tune, like a happy birthday, but no.
No.
Do it on Christmas, could do it on 4th of
and
July.
And she knows that's creepy.
Yeah, she knows, but she's like, me.
Whatever, yeah.
Mother's Day.
All right, so we want to thank Cindy for coming in from Arts of Brazil. Once again, if people are looking for Arts of Brazil, their website is?
It's artsofbrazil.com, or if you go on Facebook, it's just type Arts of Brazil and you'll find it real quickly.
Cool. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for coming in.
Guys.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.